Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea. Let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Our second reading comes from the Pauline letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 14 to 19. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The story about a sophomore at Princeton University working in the library late one night for, you know, his work-study program, trying to, you know, help with tuition. And it was getting towards closing time. And he was hoping to close up and get out the door. And in his walkthrough, he discovered an older man with white hair off in the corner with a stack of books, poring through them and writing down notes. And he was kind of amused that some old guy would be in the library that late studying. So he approached the older man, and as he approached him, he did not recognize him as Albert Einstein. So the young student went up to Einstein and said, "What are you studying so late at night?" And Einstein just said in a humble voice, "Oh, I'm a student of physics." The sophomore said sympathetically, Oh boy, I know, I had to take physics last semester." I wonder sometimes what it would be like to have that voracious appetite for learning and discovery and knowledge as somebody like Albert Einstein. And his genius was not just what he had learned in the past, although that was a lot. It was what he was continuing to learn today. He was continually being renewed. He updated his understanding on a daily basis and even changed his mind on some things. Now, we can't all be brilliant as Einstein, I know, but we can think in terms of our walk with God as being renewed every day, not living on yesterday's grace or maybe an experience of God we had 30 years ago. We continue to learn and study and grow and update our understanding and then translate that to our everyday lives, just as Einstein did with new discoveries or different principles of mathematics into real life situations. To that end, I was really fortunate to at Pittsburgh Seminary to study with one of the really original influential thinkers in an area that we later called ecological ethics. His name was Dr. George Kem at PTS, Pittsburgh Seminary. And Dr. Kem gave us a great deal to think about, to grow, to learn, to cherish. He was really the first to teach us about a Christian attitude towards the environment. That was not something that I had thought of before. And an approach that, as people of faith, we are to be stewards of the environment and fulfill that commandment to till and to keep the earth, which he explained extended to all creation in the environment. That blue globe behind me, pictures from Artemis II, that is our home. That is all of our homes. And it reminded me that this Sunday, which is closest to that day that we call Earth Day, it's the 56th version, I guess, dating back to 1970. Let's just take a moment to consider the biblical roots of our care for the planet. You know, the Bible is filled with not just a couple chapters in Genesis, but filled with creation metaphors all throughout. In that Old Testament reading, we immediately see, you know, the very first part of Genesis, some commandments of God related to our earth. We often will point to the passage, where God commands humanity to, quote, have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the creatures and everything else. But we've kind of turned that somewhere along the line into a kind of domination rather than a dominion, a gracious rule. But then we read in the second chapter of Genesis, God shows humans the Garden of Eden and commands us, quote, to till it and to keep it. Not to ravage and destroy the earth and the world, but to be caretakers, especially for future generations. And that's how Dr. Kem expanded that notion with us, the ecological problems that we face so often are just broken down into economic terms or political viewpoints. But he told us it's really a moral problem because it affects human relationships, the way humans interact with the earth and all its creatures, and with each other. There are deep ethical concerns with the environment. We know that because we see that on the news all the time. But to demonstrate this, Dr. Kem took us way back years ago. It was the 25th anniversary of Earth Day. And in a kind of enacted parable, we went out on the grounds of the seminary, gathered around, and we planted a tree. And Dr. Kem showed us with this sort of living metaphor of a tree how we needed to go deeper, to put our roots down, to continue to grow and stretch our faith in new directions, not just with the ecological crisis, but with all of our faith life. That's why I think part of our faith commitment is our commitment to continually seek new understanding and new experiences of God so that we can, in turn, love God more fully with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We can go out into the world and be ambassadors for Christ, hopefully making a difference in our communities. But we need the resources to do that. That's what brings us to this image in Ephesians It's so rich. It's a kind of another creation metaphor. We read in those verses, it's really a prayer that we're to be strengthened in our inner being with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts as we're being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love, that's another creation metaphor. We can be rooted and grounded in love, in God's word, not just for ourselves, but to bear fruit for a world in need. We all know every week we think about this. There's so many ways we see how much our communities need, what our world needs in terms of help and healing. There's so many we can hardly count them. Poverty and gun violence, authoritarian leanings of governments around the world, even political violence that we see, war and conflict. In the midst of all that, if we're rooted and grounded in love, we can be in the world as God's agents of reconciliation, ambassadors of concern and compassion wherever we find ourselves. Do you ever get the question, why do Christians care about social justice? I thought religion was a private matter. Well, we hear in Revelation 22 maybe another image to explain that. That wild imagery of that book, that in the kingdom of God there will be planted what? The tree of life. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. For healing. It's a community kind of metaphor. Well, you know, this week, hopefully we were all out in the 90-degree weather, working in our gardens. The leaves of the trees out there are coming green and beautiful, precisely because a tree grows and deepens its roots. The leaves are what turn towards the light, towards the sunshine, taking in energy, transforming it into growth, into oxygen, into food. That imagery, that creation imagery again, tells us that we need to be positioned to receive, to be open in order to grow. It also tells us that we really can't see the root system of a tree, but we know that it's huge and extensive. If you've ever tried to dig a hole and plant something anywhere near a large tree and its roots, you know. So we learn that God wants us to be rooted and grounded in Christ, have a strong root system, rooted in the knowledge of our faith, in understanding and compassion, so that we can take that light of God's love and translate it into transforming love in the world around us. Another beautiful image of that is from John 15, when Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Jesus used this image with the disciples, I think it was the last night with him. They were walking by the temple. On the temple was embossed a golden vine and a golden, you know, golden grapes. Israel was known as the vine. But he looked at them and he said, "I am the vine. Be rooted and grounded in my love. Be connected to me and me to you." Well, as Dr. Kim pointed out, issues causing environmental problems are not just economic problems or political problems, although they've become that. They are essentially moral issues which cause suffering and harm to human beings. That's why we need to be good stewards of our creation. That's why we need to have that command to till and to keep in the right framework. So as we think about our faith, our involvement in this body of Christ, it's not really for just for our benefit. It's also that we can be a community committed to following God into the world for reconciliation, for justice. We commit not just to the important acts of sharing our time and talents and treasures, but also to deepening our faith, having that appetite for learning and spiritual growth, and a lifetime approach to being connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, and caring for God's majestic creation. So may God richly bless us. And indeed, as that Pauline letter said that we read from, allow us to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. May it be so for all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.